Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. So we've got a program we know is going to touch a lot of people today because, as I know all too well from personal experience, cancer touches so many of our lives here in Connecticut. So we're going to open with our friends from Circle of Care discussing all the great work and support they're providing to pediatric cancer patients and how you can get involved in their incredible Art from the Heart initiative. Then we're going to get ready to ride closer to free with a trio all tied to Smilo and the Yale Cancer Center. We're going to talk with an oncologist and the son of a Smilo cancer patient, both participating in this year's September 11th Closer to Free ride, and a patient who's surviving her second battle with breast cancer thanks to the great work and services at Smilo that are being supported by the ride. And then we're going to wrap up with our cancer-themed program, inviting you to a different kind of music festival called Boobstock. That's right, Boobstock. This regional music fest is coming up in mid-September with great music, food, and proceeds benefiting breast cancer patients at Smilo in New Haven, as well as the Middlesex Hospital Comprehensive Breast Center. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. Yoga in Our City, presented by Connecticare, is building stronger, more compassionate communities with a deep understanding of the natural connection between yoga philosophy and social justice by providing professional, accessible, and inclusive yoga programming to all by emphasizing sustainable movement and a trauma-informed approach. Chances are there's a Yoga in Our City program happening right near you right now. Find out by visiting yogainourcity.com. So when last we chatted with Liz Salguero, who is the co-founder and executive director of a nonprofit called Circle of Care based here in Connecticut, we were smack dab in the thick and middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's great to be circling back with you to chat a little bit about looking forward finally to the best that we can, given the unknowns that we're facing, as you pointed out before we went on the mic this morning, Liz. Circle of Care provides practical, emotional, and financial assistance to Connecticut families through programs and services that meet the unique and challenging needs of pediatric cancer treatments. And as Liz reminded me ahead of our chat this morning, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So even though we're here, on the first weekend in August, things are cranking up and they're getting ready for that, as well as a golf outing in October. And we've got another great program, Art from the Heart, that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, along with one of their other participants with the organization, Brooks Tomb, will be with us shortly. But Liz, in the meantime, how are things going with Circle of Care? When last we talked, obviously, there were a lot of challenges on top of that horrific diagnosis of childhood cancer that your constituents were facing. How did you get through this last roughly 11 months since we last spoke?
So, you know, the pandemic really hit everybody in Connecticut hard, but especially the vulnerable populations like our families who were facing a cancer diagnosis and a very deadly virus at the same time. Some of the families who were diagnosed in March and April in the early days, it was paralyzingly frightening. And we had to kind of shut down our operations as well. We obviously kept the phone lines open. We used social media a lot, and we did as much as we could kind of COVID-safe drop-off of sanitary products for families. Because you remember the days when you couldn't get a Clorox wipe? You couldn't get, sure, you know, any of the things that you needed. Right. And the families were really struggling because not only could they only have one parent at the hospital at a time with the child, but many of them lost their jobs. And were in fear of losing their health insurance and their housing. So our financial assistance program was probably the most robust in 2020 because we weren't able to do many of our other in-person programs. And I'm proud to say that despite how terrifying it seemed because we didn't know how we were going to do our fundraising, that we were able to provide more than $300,000 in financial support to families in need last year.
Fantastic. So for folks that are unfamiliar with the organization, just give us a little bit of history. You're relatively new to the scene here in Connecticut. How did Circle of Care get started now?
We're almost 20 years old.
So, okay.
My son was diagnosed in 2001, and I met another mom at a support group in 2002 whose son had been diagnosed the year before. And in 2003, we started Circle of Care, which is kind of amazing to me. Carlos still had a year of treatment left to go. I don't know what I was thinking, but we had firsthand experience of what the gaps in support services were for families who were suffering with this diagnosis at the time. One of the unique things about pediatric cancer is in the state of Connecticut, there are only two hospitals that treat pediatric cancer, one in New Haven, Yale New Haven, and one in Hartford, Connecticut Children's Medical Center. So chances are you are pretty far from family, home, and everything familiar when you go through this diagnosis and the initial treatment, which usually requires a 10-day to 2 to 3 week inpatient therapy. So it can be very isolating. And it's very foreign. It's a whole new vocabulary to learn, and things happen very, very quickly. So we started right away with a day of diagnosis care package to help families make that transition to hospital life, because most of them are probably like I was and Don was. I didn't have a toothbrush. We didn't have cell phones back in those days. You kind of had no way to pack or plan, and we live 40 minutes from the hospital, too far away to kind of provide those basic comforts. We wrote a book that we call The Purple Pages, which for those of your listeners who are old enough will understand that that's a riff on the Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. and it's a directory of resources locally and nationally to help families along the journey. Within 2 years, we had 5 programs throughout the state. We never anticipated that the growth would be so rapid, but once we started, it was just so obvious there were all these other places that we could provide the non-medical support to keep these families afloat. So we do room makeovers through our Arts in the Heart program because these children are unable to go to school for long periods of time because they're either immune compromised or they just don't have the stamina for a full day at school. Mm-hmm. So we give them something to kind of look forward to and a creative project to participate in with a team and gives them all something else to talk about. We have a financial assistance program, which I just mentioned to you, which is really critical, especially at this time of the economic impact of COVID. We have hospital volunteers that are on the floor that provide respite 7 days a week to families who are in treatment, either in the clinic or inpatient. Those are really our kind of primary programs.
Yeah. Well, if people want to learn about your organization and get involved in some capacity, they can go to thecircleofcare.org learn more about various ways they could help. We mentioned if you swing a golf club or you want to get involved in some volunteer capacity with the upcoming October golf outing, you can do that. There are a number of activities I know that you're planning around Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in September, but there's also Art from the Heart, and I know we're going to talk to Brooks Toome about that in just a couple minutes, but set us up on that because you're currently looking for corporate and community teams, right?
Yeah, so that was, one of the programs that we obviously had to suspend in early 2020 because of the pandemic. You know, we couldn't risk being in somebody's home. And we had 3 children who were waiting for rooms for more than a year, and we were finally able to do those this spring, one in April, one in May, and one in June. And it was so exciting. It was so wonderful to be back to creating these little moments of magic. The way that Art from the Heart works is it's just a total transformation, and it's emotionally very, very rewarding for the team as well as for the family. So we're so excited to be ready to say we're relaunching Art from the Heart. And as a result, we are recruiting for new corporate and community partners. As you can imagine, over the last year and a half, a lot of people have left town. A lot of people have changed what they're doing. Mm. And so some of our teams that have been working with us for the last 5 or 6 years have moved on. So we are looking to recruit new teams, and especially in the kind of, you know, northern part of the state where we don't have as much support right now, kind of in the Hartford, you know, West Hartford, sure. Avon area.
How'd you meet Brooks?
So Brooks and I have been colleagues for more than 5 years. I met him actually when I met you, John, through the Hamden concert, the benefit that there we did with Tramps Like Us in Hamden. Yeah. Brooks used to be with another partner organization, and as many nonprofits, they had to reduce their staff during COVID. And when he became unemployed and available, I said, "Oof, I think you should come work with us." And Brooks said, "Yeah, I think that's a great idea," because we already knew each other and both working in the same area and have all the same relationships with the hospitals and families. It's a very, very easy transition. So Brooks joined our team as our deputy director in February.
Great. Well, we'll say farewell to you at this point, Liz, and we'll pick up the line with Brooks and hear more about his perspective. And I'm sure he will also be articulating some invitation to participate in Art from the Heart as you seek more teams and corporate sponsors and underwriters for this Complete Room Makeover initiative. So we thank you for your time this morning. Folks, once again, if you'd like to learn more about Circle of Care, you can go to thecircleofcare.org and get in line and see how you can provide some help to this or the organization. Liz, great to hear your voice, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks for taking some time this morning. And as we're switching gears here, I'm also apologizing for getting Brooks' name wrong. Brooks Tom is now on the line with us. Here he is. So, Brooks, in the last few minutes that we have, talk a little bit more about you as being an observer during the Art from the Heart experience.
Yeah, I was so fortunate, John, to be invited to be part of this team. And I came on in February. As Liz said, to expand our programs and services northward into the state of Connecticut. But I've been so lucky to be able to be a part of and to witness a couple of these room makeovers. Art from the Heart, as Liz described, is such a transformative experience for these kids to have something that they control. When a kid is diagnosed with cancer, they lose so many choices, right? And, you know, you're going into surgery, you're going to lose your hair, you're going to lose a limb, and you're going to be at this appointment at this time. So we give them a little bit of control back in their life, especially into a place where they're going to be spending a lot of time. So the first room we did was this girl, Maddie, who was an avid soccer player who had really lost a lot of use of her leg. And the space we created for her, the team created for her, led by this amazing woman, Amy Gonk, who's done it for a couple of years with a corporate team, made this beautiful room, this sanctuary, a lot of personal touches, a lot of color, a little projector so she could watch project TV under her wall, and to see her face. And it's funny, John, because a lot of teens, you know, they want to be cool, right? They don't want to look too excited.
Especially when you're in the room with them.
Exactly. Strangers, a bunch of people have been there all weekend. Yeah. But we do a reveal like they do on the Home Makeover TV show.
Yeah.
So to see that, I was in charge of filming the moment, to watch her light up and just fall onto the bed with joy and to be so happy to have had this happen to her. And not only that, we also do some stuff for the siblings as well. And sometimes, in some cases, even the parents, because they're in really
part
rough
of the
situations.
Team. Yep.
Exactly. Part of the circle.
Yeah.
And to bring this experience to this family and to that kid is such a great thing to be able to witness and to watch the team work together. I mean, it's an emotional experience for that group of people. And so to be able to give this gift to others, to some corporate teams, church teams, anybody that has a group of 10 to 12 people that they want to be part of this is such a gift. And
so folks
Robin
can
brings,
I was going to say, folks can just go to the website and find the connection to begin getting a relationship with Circle of Care and getting involved and getting a team together?
Absolutely. TheCircleOfCare.org, as you said earlier, and they can call our office, talk to Tammy Small or me, Brooks Tom, and we would love to meet with them. We have a training. It's not too extensive, but there is a lot of work involved because we have standards and protocols that must be met and followed. Sure. And we want every kid to have a similar experience. So the budget is set specifically so that every kid kind of has the same amount of funds that are spent on their space. And so it's equal.
Right.
And there's some work involved, as you would imagine, but the rewards are so enormous for the team and for that kid. It's really amazing to watch.
Fantastic. Well, we thank you for taking a few minutes, and great to meet you, having talked with Liz a number of times. And it was cool that we were kind of both in on that kind of Springsteen concert experience that brought us all together. And here we are these years later and still working toward the cause. So that's fantastic. We thank you, Brooks Tom, with Circle of Care, and our other guest and co-founder and executive director, Liz Salguero. Circle of Care provides practical, emotional, and financial assistance, as you've heard, to Connecticut families through programs and services that meet the unique challenge and the needs of those pediatric cancer patients. TheCircleOfCare.org is their website. Please consider getting involved, whether it's their upcoming golf outing or this Art from the Heart reactivated support program for kids with cancer and their families. We thank you guys for being part of the show this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon. Well, we are always looking to push the envelope here when it comes to delivering you great guests on the award-winning For the People. And today we're pushing the envelope toward the use of brand new technology, at least as far as the award-winning For the People is concerned. We're on Zoom today, and we're going to be talking about the Closer to Free ride. Whether you ride together or from afar, the power of Closer to Free remains. 100% of the funds that are raised power unparalleled research and care at Smilo and Yale Cancer Center. Coincidentally, the organization that saved my life when I was diagnosed with throat cancer, complete disclosure here, the folks at Smilo and the Yale Cancer Center did great work with me back in 2013. I had the incredible honor to participate in a study that is now making a difference in the lives of folks with the type of throat cancer that I had. And I'm so pleased to make the acquaintance of my guests this morning. Colton and Chrissy Varholik are with us. Chrissy is Colton's mom, and she's a current patient down at Smilo and the Yale Cancer Center. Colton is a Closer to Free rider who actually started doing it virtually last year, and so he's really ramped up to be doing it live and in person this year. And most important, our very special guest and part of the Varholik care team at Smilo, Dr. Neil Fishbach, is with us. Chrissy's oncologist. So let's start by reminding you that the 2021 Closer to Free ride is happening on September 11th with both in-person and virtual options. You can ride on one of the five official routes or virtually in a self-selected location on an unsupported route of your choice. Fundraising and all kinds of background information to get you started and in the swing of things is available for you right now at closertofreeride.org. And the reason that we care so much here at Connoisseur Media and we share the experiences with so many is because so many of our friends and loved ones have suffered cancer. So we're really excited to be able to promote this ride and the riders and the team and the people who are being cared for. So let's start with her. Chrissy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having us today.
You're welcome. Please give us a little orientation onto your story. When were you first diagnosed, and what type of cancer are you suffering?
So I was diagnosed back in 2013 with breast cancer. At the time in 2013, I had a double mastectomy and went through a round of chemotherapy with Dr. Fishback and did my care through him. And we were on a great road. And in 2015, unfortunately, I found a lump in my tissue where I had had my mastectomy, and the cancer had come back and was now metastatic to my bones. And so I've been in treatment with Dr. Fishback since 2015 for metastatic breast cancer. And that's a constant treatment. That's something that he can't get rid of me. We see each other monthly, if not more. And we've had several treatments that we've gone through. And right now I'm on one that is an every other week IV chemo. I've done oral chemo, but we just keep plugging along. He just keeps finding things that work, and we give it a try.
So, Dr. Fishback, tell us a little bit more about the situation. Was this sort of a micro anomaly that existed in the margin tissue, or was this a kind of cancer that would potentially have developed had the first case never happened?
Thanks for having me first, and I want to mention that I am not only a Hair Club client, but a member, but also a Closer to Free rider, as well as one of the real beneficiaries of this really remarkable event.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk to you more about that in a few minutes then.
So when breast cancer comes back, it is always a really awful event for no good reason. And there are women who will have metastatic breast cancer. Metastatic just meaning has spread to other spots in the body other than the breast and armpit lymph nodes. So there are some women who that will be their presenting a symptom, a spot of cancer somewhere else remote from the breast and armpit. And then the majority of women in the United States anyway these days, like Chrissy, misfortune of cancer that comes back after treatment designed to make it go away, ideally forever. It's a highlighting need for new and even better treatments to make sure we cure breast cancer.
So what is the cutting edge, or at least the most recently developed type of science that you are applying to Chrissy's treatment right now?
Yeah, well, many different aspects. So one of the most exciting aspects is finding ways to make breast cancer that is estrogen-driven more sensitive to anti-estrogen therapies. The most immediate manifestation of this, I think people recognize, is seeing advertisements on TV for Verzenio and medicines like that, which, again, are designed to help make our anti-estrogen treatments better. There are treatments designed to help the immune system work more effective. We're trying to tease out how to make that work for all subtypes of breast cancer. And then there still is room for good old-fashioned chemotherapy, which may be less quote-unquote smart than some of our newer targeted therapies, but still may be remarkably effective. So we're doing studies in all aspects of all phases of breast cancer and other cancer care. And in particular, also trying to figure out how to make the experience more livable, working on mental health, keeping people physically healthy in addition. And one really important toxicity that is more and more recognized is financial toxicity. How do we keep breast cancer from bankrupting families or just being the dominant thing that people have to deal with? And this is really where Closer to Free has been dramatically effective in helping people with things as simple as rides, of being able to afford rides to and from treatment, utility bills, and groceries.
Fantastic. Hey, I'm glad you brought up studies because I wanted to ask you, given the fact that you are using, you know, some of the most cutting edge available science and treatment applications right now, as well as the tried and true chemo, are you keeping your eye on anything that is poised to break in terms of new and approved applications that you might be able to bring to bear to help Chrissy?
Absolutely, yes. So there are, we are at Yale, as in I think most oncologists feel that optimal care includes participation in clinical trials at all phases of care, I think just as you experienced. And so along the course and the path that Chrissy, your family, and I have tried, we have participated in clinical trials and are always looking for a clinical trial next in line. So big part of what we do.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back and talk more with Colton and Chrissy Varholik, as well as Dr. Neil Fishback with the Smilo Closer to Free ride. Stay with us. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Hey, Naugatuck Valley residents, you're once again being asked to pick up the phone as regional data collection efforts are currently underway to develop the 2021 Community Wellbeing Survey, the fifth such survey Data Heaven has fielded since 2012. Survey takers from Siena College Research Institute are going to be calling the mobile phones of area residents through this fall to learn more about individual needs, happiness, and neighborhood level quality of life. The well-being survey findings will be used in part to produce the 2022 Valley Community Index. So if you live in the Naugatuck Valley, the Valley Community Foundation is urging you to pick up and participate this year when you get the call. We're back here talking about the upcoming Closer to Free ride coming up on September 11th with Colton and Chrissy Varholik, as well as Dr. Neil Fishback. And let's bring Colton onto the line. Colton Varholik is Chrissy's son, and he will be a second-time Closer to Free rider this year on September 11th. And Colton, I may have assumed that you were not virtually riding again this year. Are you actually going to be participating in one of the designated routes as part of the big pack?
Thanks again, John, for having us. So this year I'll be doing the 100-mile in-person ride. So I'm super excited to finally get to experience the Closer to Free community that everybody talks so much about.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your situation last year? Did you ride somewhere here around the greater New Haven area? And how did you do in terms of your fundraising?
Yeah, so last year I ended up looking up the previous Closer to Free routes just because I was trying to find something a little more out of my comfort zone to start with my first ride. And I was actually able to find the, I think it was the 2019 100-mile route, which took me up through just like the middle of nowhere, Hills, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. It took me back down along the coast. And I actually had a teacher, one of my favorite teachers from high school, who is a very dear friend of mine. He lived right at the 50-mile mark. And so while I was doing the 100-mile ride along this route, while I was passing other Closer to Free riders who were just out doing their virtual 100 miles, I actually got to stop and have lunch and talk with, this dear friend of mine who, because of the pandemic, I hadn't been able to see in a while. And we were super grateful for, his support, his wife's support, their daughter. They were amazing. So it was definitely a great experience last year, even though, it was virtual and I was kind of out there doing it on my own. I couldn't have asked for a better first experience.
And this year, same deal, 100 miles on the designated route.
Definitely, hopefully trying to be a little bit more prepared this year. I did an interview with NBC a couple weeks ago, and We were all laughing about the fact that I went into it very unprepared last year. I signed up for the ride about 3 weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely been doing some more riding this year. Cycling just kind of, you know, provides an escape, especially during the pandemic with everything going on and not being able to, you know, go back to school last year, like we were talking about earlier. It'll definitely be nice to, you know, get some more miles in, before the ride this September.
So what's your shout out to everybody that's listening here this morning, whether they can be a rider, a support to a rider, or just a volunteer who can come and lend a hand giving services in some other capacity?
Yeah, I mean, I of course, am a little bit biased, but I think Smilo is probably one of the greatest places in the world, really simply because of the fact that they've kept my family alive. You know, I talked about in this interview a couple of weeks ago, I've had several family members go through Smilo, you know, family friends, family members. And so Smilo has been a big part of my life for probably the majority of my life. And so getting involved has been probably one of the biggest gifts that I've had in my life, just being able to be surrounded by such an amazing community of people who, you know, are there to help, but at the same time truly care. And that's one of the special things about Dr. Fishback and his team is, you know, yes, at the end of the day, they're there to be doctors and to treat their patients. But at the same time, it's so much more than a doctor-patient relationship. Yeah. You can tell that Dr. Fishback and the rest of his team and everybody at Smilo truly cares. Mm-hmm. So whether you ride, you know, 5 miles, 10 miles or 100 miles, whether you volunteer at the, you know, big party at the end and you're just hanging out with everybody or you know, you raise $100 just to raise $100. Getting involved with Smilo and Closer to Free will not let you down. You know, the money goes to a great organization. Like I said, it's
sure.
an organization that's really kept people near and dear to my heart alive for the past, you know, decade, if not more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely take the opportunity to get involved because you will not be disappointed.
Cool. Dr. Fishback, how many years have you been riding?
I've done the ride 3 times, and it's just an incredibly inspirational day. A lot of hugging going on from the moment you're greeted there by the volunteers when you roll in. And I just can't say enough about the staff who put it on and just the great feeling of community there. Colton, I plan to be 2 beers deep by the time you are probably on your 50th mile, and I'll keep the food trucks warm for you. Make sure they're still serving when you roll in. But I also want to emphasize that the money that's raised is so tangible. There are some that goes to research, but equally important, again, are the $200 that gets used for a mammogram for early detection. Or, again, equally important to people is the $50 for groceries or helping pay a mortgage bill that's past due. It just... That's the kind of real, tangible, heartfelt. If you could be in office and see the gratitude of people when they're told, you know, this bill that's come due, we're going to be able to take care of because of the Closer to Free ride. It's really heartwarming.
Excellent. Chrissy, we'll go to you for the last word in the last minute or so that we have. What do you have to say to everybody who's listening or podcasting into our visit this morning?
I definitely want everyone to know what a world-class facility we have right here in the New Haven area. You know, I first and foremost want to thank Dr. Fishback for everything that he and his staff have done for our family for so many years. You know, I think about a lot of cancer patients, you know, you go in, you go through your treatment, you get cured, and you leave and maybe have every 6 months or every year. And like I said, I am seen monthly, if not more, and have been since 2015. And just the feeling that an entire team has my back. You know, I've talked to Dr. Fishback at my great moments, and I've had conversations with him at my lowest moments. You know, and it's just this incredible feeling of being completely taken care of. He always has a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, and we've had to use them over the years. And that's what Smilo is providing. you know, the closer to free ride, as Dr. Fishback said, it's so all-encompassing of a patient. You know, cancer affects your life in every possible way. It crawls into every nook and cranny, and you have to learn to live with it and deal with it. But to have not only world-class doctors, you know, these smart people who just know cancer and know how to treat it and know how to fight it every step of the way, as well as amazing facilities, but then a whole community that, you know, can pay your bills or can give you a ride if you need it and takes in any patient from any part of Connecticut. So just the closer to free ride, I volunteered at it in 2019. I've never ridden in it, but I was a volunteer at the Friday night when everyone comes to pick up their jerseys. The energy down in New Haven was incredible. You know, pom-poms, cheerleaders, jerseys, people just so excited to be part of this community because you're giving back to Smilo that in I would say every case, at least most cases, because Smilo has given you so much back. You know, they give you your health. They give you your, they give you compassion. They give you the medicine you need, the love that you need. It's just an incredible opportunity to be part of this community of riders and Smilo, and I couldn't ask for a better experience.
Yeah, well, for somebody who makes their living in great part using their voice, both as a broadcaster, an interviewer, you know, a singer and entertainer, in my other life, I can't tell you the incredible fear. You understand. I mean, you all understand the fear when you hear that diagnosis, not just that you have cancer, but you have throat cancer, and we're not really sure how it's all going to come out at the end. So getting into the caring arena of the Smilo Yale Cancer Center and being told, we got this, you're going to be fine, you'll be back on the microphone, and you may, in fact, never even have to be off the microphone. And sure enough, you know, perhaps with a couple of weeks of reruns, my entire cancer experience in 2013, there wasn't a lot of time away from the microphone here. I'm for the people. So I really owe a debt of gratitude to all the folks at Smilo and Yale Cancer Center myself. And I know you both feel the same way. We really want to thank our guests and remind you that the 2021 Closer to Free Ride is going to happen on September 11th with both in-person and virtual options. You can ride with the pack and Colton and Dr. Fishback on one of the official routes, or ride virtually in a self-selected location on an unsupported route of your choice. If you go to rideclosertofree.org, you'll find fundraising and training resources and tools to help you meet and exceed your goals. And if you're not interested in being a rider, you'll find volunteer and non-riding fundraising options there as well. rideclosertofree.org with our guests, Dr. Neil Fishback and Colton Varholak, and ride for all the people like Chrissy, Colton's mom, who is currently in the caring embrace of Smilo and the Yale Cancer Center. I want to thank you all for being part of the program this morning. I wish you a good ride, and Chrissy, to you, a fellow survivor, all the best, and I hope to be talking to you again and again and again as we move forward into the next years of rides. And all of you, thank you, Colton, Chrissy, and Neil, for being on the program. Well, as we said in the introduction, we are so pleased to be able to start turning people on to great live music activities with our invitation to the folks from CT Folk, who were on at the top of the show last week. And this week, we're going to be bringing you information about another music festival that's been going on for 7 years now, called Boobstock. It's a mini music fest, but the most important part is it's raising money for special programs and services for breast cancer patients. patients at Smilow Cancer Hospital at Yale New Haven and at Middlesex Hospital's Cancer Center at their Comprehensive Breast Center. So we want to talk to their primary organizer this morning to kick off the program. Patricia Yunan is with us. Patty, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us this morning. So this event is coming up in September, but we want people to save the date because there's so many things that are happening in Connecticut in September, all kinds of fairs and carnivals and farm markets and other things. So we want to make sure that kind of boob stock is preeminently displayed on their to-do list for the month. Let's talk a little bit about it by starting off with you. You came to know this as a result of being very close friends with someone who you sadly lost, right?
Yes, yes. Margaret was diagnosed through the free mammogram program at Smilow, and she was so grateful to be diagnosed that she wanted to pay it forward. So she formed Boobstock in 2013. And sadly, she was killed just 2 months after the first Boobstock.
Well, you have been a part of this for the entire run of these festivals?
Yes, yes. She asked me to help her organize it because my mom also passed away the same year that she was cured. So for me, it was a double, you know, because I was so happy my friend was cured and also so sad I lost my mom. I wanted to help other breast cancer patients with things that I know they need when they're going through treatments, like wigs and turbans, bandanas. Both hospitals treat the whole patient, so they get massage and Reiki treatments as well. So we, you know, our donations to the two hospitals go to fund those types of activities and accessories.
So you stepped in and picked up and have been handling this on behalf of Margaret Rohner for the balance of the time. What happened last year? What did you guys did you sort of take a year off like almost every other music festival did?
Well, there was no music festival, but I still raised money in as many ways that I could. I bought several different items to sell to raise money that way. And the place where we have the function had their own band that day. So it wasn't my band for Boobstock, but it was for them to raise money because as a private club, they also suffer greatly from the pandemic. So what they did, though, was they allowed me to sell my merchandise at their event. And also we had more than a dozen raffle baskets. So we raised over $6,000 last year in spite of COVID.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about what you know in terms of the people and the entities that you're helping at each of these hospitals. So let's start with Smilow. You're raising money for their boutique?
Yes, for the Signari Family Boutique, where I was with Margaret when she went through her picking up the accessories that she needed, and being self-employed, she didn't have the money for, you know, the camisoles after a mastectomy are quite expensive and also quite needed. So, you know, I saw the gratitude in her face that the boutique provided these things to her. So when I needed to, because originally Margaret had hoped that the money would go to fund free mammograms. Mm. But after her passing, I found out that free mammograms are funded by the federal government. So the hospitals asked me to pick another place to give the money. So that was what came to mind, was Margaret at Signari Boutique and my own mom at this Middlesex Cancer Center picking up, you know, free wigs and turbans and things like that. It just, I saw what a comfort it was for both of them to have these things provided to them at no cost when they were already going through something horrible.
So do you provide simply the cash pass through, or do you actually get involved in providing and picking and delivering some of the product?
We simply give the cash.
Have you ever had the ability to talk to any of the people that, after the fact, were recipients of the goodwill that's coming out of yours and your friend's effort?
I have not. I imagine it's a bit of a privacy thing, so I don't know that the hospital actually tells them where the money comes from that's providing them with this. So I don't know that anybody would know to come back to me to say thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about Margaret's story and how you sort of were her co-pilot through her experience.
She and I were good friends back in the early 90s. We worked together for a year or so, and then we lost track of each other. She'd actually moved out of Connecticut for several years, and when she moved back, she and I reconnected probably, I want to say, in 2010. So we were, you know, we were friends for a few years before she was diagnosed, and I had stopped working in 2010 because that was when my mom's cancer got worse. So I was taking care of her pretty much full time, and so I had time to be able to go to appointments with Margaret also. So, you know, I was taking my mom to appointments for maintenance chemo, and I was taking Margaret to appointments for her cure, because, you know, she was completely cured. She did double mastectomy with transdermal reconstruction, so her chance of recurrence was going to be, you know, less than 2%.
Did you guys start talking early on in the recovery period about trying to do something to, as you point out in the press and the website, to pay it forward for the benefits and the goodwill and the professionalism that she was surrounded by in her medical care?
Yes, that was absolutely one of, you know, she started talking about it shortly after she was cured. She was a huge rock and roll fan, so doing a mini music fest was the way that she chose to pay it forward. She said, you know, I can raise money, I can have everybody come together, we can, you know, have great music and great food and great company and raise money for a much needed cause.
Over the years, have you had the opportunity to talk to a lot of other cancer survivors that I imagine come to the Boobstock Music Festival, not just to enjoy the music and all the other activities and stuff we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, but to have some camaraderie with their fellow survivors?
Absolutely. There are several ladies who come every year that are breast cancer survivors.
Excellent.
You know, and they're, you know, they're grateful that somebody is doing something, because when you're going through the whole nightmare of breast cancer, anytime somebody does something to ease your pain or your burden, it means a lot.
Excellent. Well, this is great. For folks that are thinking they might be interested in heading out, this event for this great cause is going to be held on September 18th, beginning at 1 p.m. at the Sobieski Club in Deep River, Connecticut. Is this an organization and a location that former Boobstock attendees will be familiar with?
Yes, we've been holding it at the Sobieski Club since 2016.
Well, tell us more about the event for people who are looking forward to going.
Okay, we have five great bands. They're all local bands. The first one is Cursivist Code, and then we'll have Bokum Road, and then Old Dog New Trick, Local Honey, and closing the show with Smoke Bubbles. So, you know, there are a lot of people that I went to school with, and they're all, you know, great musicians. So that, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have them donate their time, because none of the bands are paid. They all donate their time.
Well, like many of the fill-in-the-blank stock festivals that have been happening over the past 50-plus years, whether it was the big original one or either of its incarnations, or many of the other fundraisers or activities that have kind of taken on the handle, it's not just music at Boobstock. Tell us some of the other things that people will be able to take advantage of or enjoy if they come out on September 18th.
We provide a great picnic lunch that goes along with the price of the ticket. You know, it's included in the price of the ticket. Mm-hmm. And then we've usually got between 50 and 60 same-day raffles and three or four really good door prizes. Like, for instance, 100 gallons of fuel oil is one of the prizes we've had sometimes for door prize. Another door prize that we usually have is for a family of four on the steam train and riverboat ride from Essex Steam Train. Mm-hmm. And then we've also had people donate, like, you know, large amounts of topsoil. So, you know, we've got some really nice raffle baskets and some decent door prizes.
And there's going to be some sort of a flea market or rummage sale?
We do a rummage sale inside the building. You know, just like a white elephant sale.
Mm-hmm. And does that, do the proceeds from that kind of parlay into the funds that you collect from ticket sales and other boob stock stuff that you're selling?
Absolutely. We all of the money I raise, merchandise that I buy, the things that are donated for the rummage sale, ticket sales, everything goes to boob stock. I try to keep it to like less than $200 or $300 in expenses. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll cover the price of the expense myself just to be able to give more to the charity. So in other words, last year I bought the t-shirts and I did not reimburse myself. All of the money that was raised from the t-shirts goes to the charity.
So you don't just step up in terms of volunteer effort and sweat equity. You also, parlay some personal expenses. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Great. Well,
I should probably mention that it's important to bring lawn chairs and blankets, mm-hmm. and to carpool if possible, because parking is limited.
Okay.
And because it's at a private club, which is also a bar, they don't allow anybody to bring in their own alcohol. Any alcohol consumed there has to be purchased from the permit.
Okay. And so is the sole food availability the picnic lunch that comes with the price of admission?
Yes. Well, we usually have, you know, a bunch of different salads, hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken, sometimes chili, pulled pork. We have a nice variety of food for the event.
And people can also grab some merch with the Boobstock brand prominently displayed, right?
Yes, absolutely. We've got koozies and magnets and t-shirts. I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm missing something, but I can't think of what it is.
Hmm. Bandanas?
Bandanas. No, bandanas don't say boob stock. Now, some of my merchandise does not say boob stock because not everybody wants to brand the boob stock. But I do have masks, decals, koozies, and magnets.
Excellent. So, as you said, 100% of the proceeds after any nominal expenses are split between the two hospital programs, Smilo's Boutique and the breast center at Middlesex Hospital.
Yes.
And do you have some idea over the 7 years running so far, plus last year's hybrid activity, the total amount of money that you've been able to raise and split between the two hospitals?
Since 2013, it's right around $48,000.
Fantastic. Well, I'm certain that this year's boob stock is going to put you over that $50,000 mark and then some. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we're so proud and happy to be able to back you up a little bit in promoting this effort, along with the two great medical centers that are the beneficiaries of it, and the dozens, if not hundreds, of women and other breast cancer survivors who will also be the beneficiaries of the great work that you're doing, that was started and founded in 2013 by your good friend Margaret Rohner. We really appreciate what you do to step up just as a citizen of Connecticut who's interested in grassroots efforts, so to speak. Patricia Yunan is the primary organizer of Boobstock. Their 2021 event is coming up on September 18th, beginning at 1 p.m. at the John Sobieski Club on Woodland Road in Deep River. If you want to find out more about the activity and to sign up and get tickets, which are $25 for anyone ages 12 to 64 and $15 for ages 6 to 11, with those over 65 and age 5 and younger absolutely free, you can go to boobstock.com. In the meantime, we want to say thanks again to you, Patricia. Great work that you're doing doing on behalf of breast cancer survivors and their families all over Connecticut who are tied to both Smilo and Middlesex Hospital. And hopefully we're going to see you out there on September 18th at the Sobieski Club for Boobstock 2021. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.